Conscious of it booming then. Great. Nice to see you all. Everybody all right?
Yes, thank you.
Good. It's great to be with you. Come on. Lord's good, isn't he?
All the time.
Yeah. And he's doing great things. You know, and sometimes we just don't get to hear about it. And it's like as if he's not doing it. But I tell you, all over this lovely nation of ours, God is doing great things. Right? New people are coming to the kingdom. Miracles of provision are coming to the churches. Things are moving forward. God is giving favor to the church in many areas. This time last week, Gaynor and I were in Flint working with the River Dee Community Church. I've been working with them for about 8 years. They were 10 years old on last weekend. And we had a great celebration. And in Flint Town Hall, it was packed out. It was a great, great time. But there were so many new faces. And I said to the pastor, Steve, I said, Steve, this is great. He said, just new faces all the time. And he said, these guys we baptized the other day, and then we got an alpha starting, and these guys are coming. So be encouraged. God is doing great things. I don't know if you follow social media, but you will have seen this week it was announced that Antioch Church in Llanelli have been awarded almost £500,000 for the refurbishment of their center in Llanelli as they reach out. Isn't that great? It's wonderful. It's great. There's so many great stories out there. I could probably just stand here and just tell stories all night, one after the other after the other. And you'd think, wow, that was encouraging. That was great. But there's more than that that I want to bring encouragement to. Because, you know, you understand this, I know. We are all part of God's kingdom, right? We've all said yes to Jesus as Lord of our lives. We've all said yes to living for his glory for our lives here on earth. We've come under the reign of God, God's rule. He's our king. He's our Lord. And so in that space, in that kingdom space, you know, there's a different culture to what's out there. And the culture amongst us is a culture of worship and prayer and praise and also a culture of encouragement, isn't there? You know, where encouragement is like soul food in the church, isn't it? We feed on it. You know, you show me a bunch of people who are discouraged, and I'll show you a bunch of people who are withdrawn, who don't give much money, who come late. That's not a swipe at anybody. that was not leveled at anybody, Catherine, I promise you. Wherever she is. You know, you see people, they draw back, and they don't give of themselves. But show me a bunch of people who are encouraged, and I'll show you people who dig deeper, who give more, who run faster, and who live stronger, and who reach higher. Because there's an energy, and there's a momentum, and there's a life that's within us when we are encouraged, which is pretty awesome to behold. Amen? You with me? So I just want to speak into that little word of encouragement. Right? For the next just 2 hours, just sit back, relax. So I want to talk to you first. It's going to come up on Mark. He'll find it, I know, so I'll just keep going. He'll find it. So I want to talk to you about encouragement and a number of ways encouragement comes to us. Right? First thing I want to talk about, encouragement comes to us through words, strangely enough. It comes to us through words. You see what the Bible says? Words of encouragement are like honey. They're sweet to the soul and they are healing to the bones. Who'd fancy a bit of that? Come on. Something that's sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Gosh, that sounds like good news, doesn't it? Words of encouragement are like that. They seep into us. They put something good deep into our spirit. We can never have enough encouragement spoken into our lives. The writer to the Hebrews says to the people there, he says this, encourage one another every day so that you don't become tricked and hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Because that's what sin does. It hardens hearts. And it changes mindsets. And it puts a limit on us. And it stops us being free to worship.
Awesome, isn't it? Huh? He said this when he's writing. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident now in the Lord. And dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Or maybe you can do it a bit more. Leaders in prison in Wales. I see that hand, brother. He also said to Timothy, listen, Timothy, just be bold. Don't let anybody look down on you just because you're young. Set an example for the believers in speech, love, faith, purity. And then be an encouragement to them all. Let them see your life and let your example and your actions inspire them to go further. Yes? That's what encouragement does. So, application for you. Consider your own example and actions. How can you inspire and encourage other people in the church here this week? If they look at you this week, will they be inspired and encouraged by what they see in you? By the commitment and faith and the sacrifice and the lifestyle that is clear to all, and be inspired and encouraged by that? Encouragement then comes to us, thirdly, through gifted teachers. And you're awash with those here, aren't you? Come on. Now, the appearance of Barnabas in the early church was a great blessing. He was a warm and a generous man, and he encouraged many, many new believers. This is what the Bible says about him. When Barnabas arrived and saw the grace of God and saw what it had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. See, when you've got a Barnabas amongst you, when you've got that Barnabas spirit, when you've got that encouragement, that warmth, that fatherly spirit that encourages and brings out the best, stuff happens. People get saved. People grow. People get released. People start to expand into all sorts of different types of ministry, don't they? Yeah. And the driver, encouragement. And it's so easy to give. Give it through words, give it through example, give it through actions, and let it come to your life through gifted leaders. And good and wise leadership will always be seeking to bring encouragement to the church. Why? Well, because it's difficult to overstate the impact and influence that a Barnabas-style leader can have on a church. When a church is encouraged, everybody's up for it. We move better. We move in sync. We start to get momentum to the vision. We start to align to the vision when we're encouraged. Isn't that so? You know, when things are going forward and God is with us and there are tangible, obvious tokens of his presence amongst us, it's such a difference. And when Barnabas-style leaders are pouring this encouragement into the hearts of the people all the time, it makes a great, great difference. Good leadership is always doing what Paul said to the Thessalonians. He said this: good leaders are always encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom that we talked about, and into his glory. A culture of encouragement is so important. You know? And when you hear great stories, how many of you know that the encouragement comes through stories all the time? When you hear great stories, you get so encouraged. Well, a couple of years ago, we moved up into the Rhondda in response to a request from the guys there to help them go plant this new church. So we sold up our house on the front of Mumbles and overlooking the bay and all of that, which was absolutely lovely. And we moved into this lovely, wonderful little two-bed terrace on the hill, which is just awesome. It's great. Lovely and damp. And we started to plant the new church. And having been involved in many church plants, really, I suppose, across the years within Wales, I've learned lots of stuff. And one of the principles that I've learned over and over is this: money goes to vision. Always. Resource and money and people go to vision. It's attractive. It has something about it like a magnet that attracts people, that attracts resource, attracts money. Saw it happen to Kevin Kruger over there in Bridgend. Some of you know the story, all that went on over there. Amazing. Hundreds of thousands of pounds, brand new centre erected. Money goes to vision. In Carmarthen, we saw £2.2 million worth of miracle finance for the project. Now we have a 3-acre site with a 12-lane, 10-pin bowling arena, state-of-the-art, kids' play space, furniture recycling plant, food bank. It's amazing. Fantastic. Miracle finance. When we were in Rhondda, I was preaching this stuff to them and saying, guys, resource goes to vision. Just believe God. You do it. Resource goes to vision. Serve God with the vision. Be encouraged. Be full of faith. God will give us what we need. But long story short, right, Alec? You could even make this up if you wanted to. But we are now almost £300,000 of miracle finance into the refurbishment of the old Conservative Club as a ministry centre, smack in the middle of Tylerstown, on the top of the Rondebach, which is one of the hardest and broken communities in Wales today. Awesome. Isn't God good?
Yes.
Well, tell me, go on. Come on, just tell me. We had people from overseas who came out to the Rhondda as youngsters, one of them. And they were online just looking at where they grew up, and the Lord spoke to them. And said, go and see these people. I want you to go and help them. As it happened, they had grown very wealthy of the oil industry from Iran and Malaysia, and came to see us, and the Lord spoke to them, and they said, we're with you all the way. And they're partnering with us. And we will have a three-story centre. It's open now, and the upstairs is open. And we'll be running 8 fitness classes, a youth club, a community choir about to start every week, and are really beginning to make inroads to reaching people in the community. Money, resource, people goes to vision. And that encourages our hearts. And good leaders keep encouraging and reminding the people, God is with us. And the tokens keep on coming. And the early church was, the leaders were just full of this ministry as they traveled around from city to city, church to church. Look at Paul in Ephesus. Listen to Paul in Ephesus. There was a big uproar, right, when he started preaching. People were really annoyed about it, right? Because Diana was the sort of, deity in Ephesus. They were really annoyed that he was preaching this gospel. He says, when the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples and, after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. And he travelled through that area speaking many words of encouragement to the people. What is the apostolic DNA? Encouragement. They keep doing it wherever they go. And wherever those feet tread, people are left encouraged. There's encouragement all the way. Listen to the early church in Acts 9. Right? It summarises in this. The church enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and it grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Every time you see growth and expansion and advance in the kingdom, guess what's the driver underneath it all? Encouragement. It's an amazing thing. It's living. It's just palpable. It changes atmospheres, changes mindsets, changes hearts. So pray for your leaders today that they will be encouraged themselves and that they will be a great source of encouragement to the church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, nearly there. Encouragement comes, or encouragement can be got in the face of trouble and difficulties. We didn't start talking about that stuff. Yeah, it does. It comes through that as well. Believe me. Each of us are going to have a fair share of trouble and difficulty in this life. Yes? It's coming down the pipe, right? And whoever we are, it's coming to us. At some point, and in some way, it comes down the pipe. Some get more than others. It's just the way it is. But finding encouragement in the middle of such circumstances marks us out as God's own. We're never the product of what is done to us or what happens to us. But we are always the product of how we respond to what happens to us. Amen? You with that? So the encouraged heart knows how to filter and deal with these things. And the Philippi story illustrates this. We can quickly go to Philippi. Paul and Silas traveling through Philippi, preaching the gospel, bringing people to faith. A demon-possessed slave girl got released, and her owners were furious. Paul and Silas arrested, beaten, stripped, severely flogged, thrown into prison, locked by their feet and hands in the stocks in the inner jail. So at midnight, they begin to worship. Well, what do you do then? When you're in that circumstance, what do? You worship. You pray. You begin to call on the name of the Lord. And as they began to do that, they encouraged their hearts. Because DNA is, the apostolic DNA is encouragement. As they encouraged each other in that, guess what happened? It was amazing. Stuff fell off. Chains fell off. Doors opened. They came out and the jailer says, Oh my gosh, now it's going to be my head. Where are they? Brings a light. And he says, we're good. Oh, gosh, look at this. It's amazing. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord. You and all your family. Again, you bring them. They all get baptized. Church starts in Philippi. Now, there'd be a big uproar, right? Big, you know, getting them into the prison. So the following morning, the authorities come to kind of, you know, the big cheeses are there to kind of, you know, go sort this out. So they warn them, no more preaching, no more teaching. Yeah, like that's going to happen. and out of the city, etc. And it says this is amazing, amazing. You might not have seen this. Right? You read that story, you think, yeah, I know the story. Look at the words actually in this chapter. It says this, right? After Paul and Silas came out of prison, they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then they left. Wow! Even, I mean, if you and I had been let out, and you think, got away with that, you're going to be out of there like shocked. What did they do before they left? They met with all the believers and they encouraged them. Why? Because they understand that the church thrives and lives on encouragement. Amen? Yes, it does. And even in the midst of great trouble and difficulties, see, these men display this DNA of encouragement. I mean, fantastic faith and courage. But yet they still wouldn't leave before bringing encouragement to the people. How great is that? How awesome is that? So however difficult the circumstances you face, and don't belittle them, because we all face them from time to time, be an encouragement to someone else today. In the middle of your crisis, bring words of encouragement to someone else's heart. And watch what that does in your situation. When Paul and Silas began to pour it out in the prison, it was amazing what God did as a result, wasn't it? What if they kept silent? What if they thought, oh, we're in trouble, we're in difficulty, our circumstances are bad, woe is me? Then none of that would have happened. But amazing. You see, when you're in the middle of it and you begin to let encouragement flow, God can do great things. All right, encouragement also comes. Please mark the next one. Oh, this is a bit of a... There we go. Through the pain of discipline. Who's up for that? Encouragement comes to us through the pain of discipline. This is amazing. Now, nobody enjoys discipline, right? Or is it just me? Because it goes against our human nature, doesn't it? However, when we allow discipline to shape us, we will grow into mature people. The writer to the Hebrews, right, one of the letters in the New Testament, is reminding them and us that when God brings discipline into our lives, it's painful. It's hard. That lovely psalm, in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, shall I want? You shall lay down in green pastures. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You ever seen a shepherd comforting a sheep with a rod? Have you ever seen a shepherd comfort a sheep with a rod? Yeah. Comfort in inverted commas. And sometimes God has to comfort you and me. The sheep is straying, which is kind of let it stray into the paths of wolves, into the edge of the cliff, or to comfort it with a rod and get it back on the path. And God uses the pain of discipline to get us back on the path and to bring us encouragement. God disciplines us for our good so that we can share in his holiness. And cooperation with God through these times will cause us to grow spiritually. Who wants to grow spiritually? Everybody. Great. Who wants to pay the discipline? Two of us. Alright. But it will cost us to do so, to grow spiritually. But here's the point of encouragement. And I think this is fantastic. If you forget everything else tonight, remember this. God only disciplines those he calls his children and the ones he loves. So, who has ever known the discipline of the comfort of God's rod? Yeah? Do you know why? Because he loves you. Do you know why? Because you belong to him. You know why? Because that is a mark that you are his. Now, who wants a bit of comfort from the rod of God? Yes? Of course. Because it marks us as his children. If we were not his children, he would not be disciplining us. But the fact that he is absolutely drawing near to bring discipline to our lives is a mark that he loves us. The fact that the shepherd uses the rod to comfort the sheep back onto the path is because he loves the sheep. If he didn't love the sheep, he just let it go. Right? And when God brings discipline into your life and my life, it is for the encouragement that we are his. That's a great encouragement, isn't it? Yeah. If I was to preach a message on, you know, encouraged because we belong to God, you'd all get flat. That sounds like a lovely message. But yet working on it can be painful. It can be a bit hard. It can be tough. It can be, you know, not something that we've been enjoying. But he brings encouragement to us through the pain and discipline. Isn't it in the scripture? It says this. Have you forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons and daughters? Do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as a son or daughter. All right, now who's after a bit of discipline? And the encouragement that flows into our lives because God will discipline us. So consider the areas of your life. Here's the application. Where you know you need God's discipline. And determine in your heart to embrace it. And to grow in maturity. And be encouraged that you are his child. There's no greater encouragement than that, is there? That we belong to him. All right, final point. I'm going to talk about encouragement leads us to know him better. Being encouraged in heart, right, is the opposite of being discouraged in heart. That's obvious. But when we are discouraged and we tend to withdraw, we focus on problems and we focus on stuff that's not going well. But when we are encouraged, it has a great effect on us and we rise to new levels of faith. The disposition of being encouraged leads us into deeper realms of the Spirit. How many of you want to go there? Encouragement is the key. When you've got an encouraged heart, when you've got a spirit that is full of encouragement that's come to you through words, through examples, through actions, through godly leaders, through the pain of discipline, when you've got a heart that is full of the encouragement that has come to you through those things, it will lead you into deeper realms of the Spirit where you can know God more. Now, who's up for knowing God better? Absolutely. But it's not just a flick a switch and penny in a slot, is it? It's through this process. I know you understand that. Paul tells the Colossians, he says, I'm striving on your behalf so that you will be encouraged. Amazing. That's what he was doing. That you'll be encouraged in heart and united in love. He says, when this is true, when people are encouraged and united in love, he says this, you will then have the full riches of complete understanding. And in turn, that will enable you and us to know the mystery of God, who is Christ. That's awesome. You want to know him better? Then you need to have this energy of encouragement pouring through your heart. It comes through those means that we've talked about. Here's the scripture. My goal is that they may be, the people, may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that they may have these full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Want to know him? Through encouragement. How amazing is that? The deep things of the Spirit. The revelation of Christ. Knowing him, seeing him, loving him, having a deep understanding deep within the heart of who he is comes from a disposition of being encouraged. That's why it's so important. That's why the culture of encouragement as part of the kingdom is vital in our churches. That's why it needs to be our DNA. That's why we need to be speaking words of encouragement every day so we don't become hardened, but we actually flow in the living reality that this encouragement is. And we see examples and actions get inspired and encouraged. That gifted leaders keep pouring encouragement into our lives. That we submit to the pain of the discipline of God. Because we know that we belong to him. And that's a great encouragement. And that encouragement all leads us into the realm of knowing him better. Of a place where we are open-hearted and ready to receive and ready to retain the encouragement of God into our lives, which leads us into the knowledge of God in a deeper way. It's amazing. Here's the application, and you can do this week. How's that? All up for doing a little bit this week? All right. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. All right. Spend a bit of time with those, either tonight, tomorrow, sometime during this week. Think on it for 10, 15 minutes. 103, verses 1 to 5. And then rewrite it in your own words. You'll be amazed of what God will speak to you about. You'll be amazed what will happen in your heart when you do that. And use what you have written to encourage your own heart. Use it like a mirror to your soul. And you'll be amazed. You will laugh when you read it back to yourself and you'll find yourself praising God, worshipping God, and you find the encouragement level in your heart absolutely rising as you do it. So who's up for doing that? All right, Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5, 10, 15 minutes, rewrite it in your own words, read it out loud, and enjoy what happens. How's that? That sounds good. So develop the habit of encouraging others. Would you do that? Because you never know what they're going through at that moment in time. And you'll never know how powerful and strong and absolutely relevant your words will be at that time. Your words and your actions can make such a massive, massive difference to people's lives. So, what do you say, church? We're going to be people of encouragement?
Yes.
And live a culture of encouragement?
Yes.
Pour encouragement into each other's lives day by day?
Yes.
Amen. God is good. All right. Amen. Amen. Pete.
I'm sure you want to thank Rob for bringing that challenge to us today. God is so kind to us.